morning on this first Saturday of February, also known as Super Bowl Sunday. First what?
Sunday.
First Sunday. What did I say?
Saturday.
Oh. You thought for a second I changed religions, huh? It's Sunday. Super Bowl Sunday. So, who's excited about the Super Bowl? Okay. Patriots fans, let me hear from you. Oh, dead silence. Okay, Eagles fans, let me hear from you. Oh, a little bit. Okay, so we're not super into this. Is it because they're East Coast teams? Because the Seahawks are not in the Super Bowl or the 49ers or, yeah, it makes a big difference, doesn't it? And it almost feels good that they're playing in Minnesota and they're going to have a high of 7 degrees. Did you know that? Have you heard that? And during game time, it drops to 5 and down to 2. And we get to sit in our warm houses and watch it on TV. That's the best part of the day, right? So it's a sports week, and then on Thursday, the Olympics start. You guys excited about the Olympics? Oh, there's a little more enthusiasm for the Olympics. Okay, all right, that's a good thing. Okay, so we don't have a whole lot of Patriots fans. We don't have a lot of Eagles fans. We have some United States Go Olympics fans. How many God fans do we have here today? Woo! Let me hear from God fans. Okay, all right, that is more like it. So let's stay focused there. What do you say on this Sunday morning and throughout the rest of our weeks as well, even if it were Saturday morning? We would stay focused on God. Now, you all should have received this booklet when you came in this morning. If you did not, raise your hand and you will get one. Okay, there's a hand raised. So there's a couple hands raised. So this is called 21 Dangerous Prayers, and it is 21-Day Transformational Prayer Guide. And this is going to be your tool for the month of February, or at least for the next 3 weeks, 21 days to be exact, because we are going to enter into a season of dangerous prayers. Cue dangerous prayer music. I got my timing off. I'm really bad at that. Does anyone recognize that song? That, what is it from? You can't figure it out, but you recognize it. I have a $5 Starbucks card for anybody who can remember what that theme song, it's a theme song. Not Munsters. That's close. It's the right era. It's without the words, if you had the words. Matthew, do you already know, though? Does he know from, you're guessing? Are you guessing? Guess. What is it from? Scooby-Doo. Matthew is right, and I'm glad. Come run up and get your card. I am glad to give this to you because I know you're a huge coffee drinker. No, there's other stuff at Starbucks that you can get. Good job, Matthew. That is the original theme from Scooby-Doo. So I chose that because they always face danger in Scooby-Doo, right? There was an element of danger, but, you know, it's not that scary. And as we're going into dangerous prayers, we're not looking at things that are scary, but we're looking at things that might be considered dangerous. Now, what are dangerous prayers? So Gary Rohrmeier, who wrote this booklet that we're going to be going through, says that any encounter with a holy God can be dangerous, not in a life-threatening way, but in a way that can be life-altering and soul-shaping. God's got our attention.
We have been hearing testimonies from people over the last 2 months about what he's been doing in lives. He has our attention. And following God into deeper spiritual renewal through prayers is what we're going to be doing over the next few weeks. It's one thing to say we desire more of God, and it's another thing to actually put some weight behind that and desire more of God through our behavior and our action. And so that's why this becomes a tool. Now, I'll be bringing the message the first 3 weeks of the month, and then Marcus Overstreet's going to be wrapping it up at the end of the month. And so the first week is reasons, second week is requests, third week, regrets, and fourth week, results. And then this whole month pretty much culminates in six of us from this congregation traveling to Spring Arbor, Michigan to the National Prayer Summit with the Free Methodist denomination. Which is exciting that we're taking six people out of the 16 going from Oregon. Six are coming from this very church because we value prayer. And it's exciting, and I'm really looking forward to that. So as we move through this month, what we're going to do is realize that today's the 4th of February, and the last Sunday is the 25th of February, and really only pastors know what the date is on Sundays. But if you subtract four from 25, you're going to end up with 21. And so it's a perfect fit for 21 days of prayer. And the other cool thing is that the majority of the churches across Oregon are going through this with us. So can you imagine, as those of us here today and those of us around the state of Oregon, as we focus more on prayer and intentionally praying, what we're going to look at is dangerous prayers, what kind of changes we're going to see happen? It's exciting. It's an exciting time. We are going to be able to see these things. So let's start looking at reasons. Today is reasons. Let's start looking at reasons we pray dangerous prayer. And the number one reason to pray dangerous prayer should be that we are desiring more of God's life-transforming and soul-shaping power. Now, anything underlined on the screen is going to be in your sermon notes, which are in your program. So if you want to fill in blanks, you get to do that with the word power. So if we're going to engage in dangerous prayer, and if we're going to look at the definition given by Gary Rohrmeier, it talks about being life-altering and soul-shaping. We need to desire that. And when we desire that, and when we start praying for that, that can be dangerous. Because that's the kind of prayer God answers. For sure. Because he wants to give us life transformation. He wants to alter our lives. He wants to further shape our souls. He wants to make a difference in us and in our lives and in our world. And it just goes out from there. And so there's a couple of different ways that we experience this answer to prayer. When we say, God, transform my life, alter me. And when we say, God, reshape me, I'm open to that. Now, I know a lot of you, I've been encouraging you to pray deeper prayers, seek God more deeply. And I've heard a couple of different things that have happened in your lives. One is that God is blessing you and just like knocking your socks off with his blessings. He's changing things in ways that you're just like, wow, it could only be God. And so I have actually asked Tom to come forward today and share a testimony about a time that God blessed him in a way just recently that altered him and his life. And he brought his picture holder, his Vanna White.
So there was a song that came on the radio, Withholding Nothing. I surrender all to you, withholding nothing, withholding nothing. And that impacted me, but I'll give you the background first. So some of you may know that we have been called to do ministry work in Uganda. And this is a picture of the facility that we felt we have got a design and help from others to build. And on the next picture, there were about a year and a half ago, five children were brought to our friends in Uganda, and their parents had been killed by Muslims. And so they felt called to bring those children in. And we have joined with a team with them to try to do something about a home for these kids. And over the year that we were gone, it went up from 5 to 48 different kids. Uganda has a lot of children there, a lot of children. Over 2 million that are orphans, yeah. So, and this is a picture of some of the kids that we minister with there. And so we sought help, and people helped us, and we bought some property, and we got a design for the building, and so went by faith we moved forward. And that we had enough to do phase one, but where was the money coming for phase two? And it's like, whoa, what a blessing. Everything touched me. I mean, somebody got on the radio and sing, "This is my story, this is my story." I started crying. It was awesome.
Thank you. I want to ask you to stay up here, Tom. So that is a great story of how you're just stepping out in faith and asking God to use you to transform yourself, but more so to use you to transform other people's lives. And in that work of faith, God gave you an increase that you didn't expect. It was like God's math. We've talked about that before. God does math differently than we do. And so what you figured out you had turned out that you had three times as much, and that can only be God. And so he deserves the praise for that. And those are times that God blesses the socks off of us, right? It's like, wow, didn't expect this to happen. I'm going to trust him in something, but, you know, I don't know how it's going to work out, but God, it's up to you. And then it works out, and it's so exciting. But there's another side to this kind of prayer, praying for life transformation and soul shaping. And oftentimes, those are not things that happen that are external so much. This was kind of an external thing, right? This answer to prayer. Hey, hallelujah, glory God. But what about when God wants to do the work inside? Now, sometimes he does it quickly. I'm not discounting miracles. That can happen. Suddenly, we have a friend who've known for years, Ted led him to the Lord like 30-some years ago, who was an alcoholic. And the day he accepted Jesus into his life and decided to live differently, he never craved a drink again. Now, that is a miracle. And that is not usually the story that we hear. Usually the story we hear is, I had to grow, and they had to grow, and I had to hurt, and I had to fight, and I had to keep deciding to pray the same prayer over and over, God, transform me, God, shape me, regardless of how hard this is. And so I've asked Tom to stay up because he has a testimony to say something about that kind of experience as well.
As a new Christian and a new believer, I sought the Lord for work in my life, and I got married, and God moved, but there was pride in my life and difficult times. And for 21 years, we had a pretty good marriage, and my wife had a brain aneurysm, and it was very difficult for us. She was tired. She stopped having interest in church, and it was painful for me. Our ministry wasn't the same thing going on. And One day she died. And that was extremely painful as well. But as I looked at that pain that of losing the person I invested 42 years in, my connection with people at the jail was much deeper. And I was able to say unabashedly, I love you, and I'm here to be of help to you if you'll accept it. And things I'm going to share to you with you are things that are working in my life. They're the truth. And that's been a blessing. It's been a blessing. And also I met Beverly, who has been such a great partner to me. Some of the things that Kathy and I couldn't do, Beverly are doing. And we are pretty much inseparable. So I'm thankful for the work God is doing in my life.
Can I ask you a couple of questions? Would it be okay? All right. Praise God. Yeah, let's give God a praise offering for that. In the process that you went through when you were struggling in your first marriage, what kind of things did God do internally within you to get you to the point where after your loss and as you were feeling the grief, you were able to more deeply connect with those who you were ministering to at the jail?
Well, I'd say one thing was that I remembered, you know, initially when we were having difficulty, we went to counseling and did different things. I didn't really change too much, but somehow I kind of remembered and got an insight into James 1:2 and Romans 8:28, that God was working something good through me, and that to count it all joy when I was going through various trials. So it was like this song earlier, surrendering to the changes going on, I would say.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate you sharing very much, Tom. Thank you again. Yeah. The thing that I think stands out with Tom's story, the last one, is that it didn't change instantly. Did you hear the numbers he shared? After 21 years of marriage, long time, his wife had an aneurysm and things changed. And how many years was he married when she passed away? 42 years. Another half of a lifetime of their marriage. He worked and struggled and chose to stay faithful to that marriage. And it was through that time that God began to talk to him and say, I'm working here. It doesn't always happen instantaneously, does it? It doesn't even always happen within a few days or weeks or months or even a few years. It happens through a lifetime. When we pray the most dangerous prayer we can pray, which is, God, alter my life to be more like yours. Shape my soul to be more like yours. It's not that it's going to be something that happens and you're changed. It's going to be a process over a lifetime of change. And there's going to be times that are easy and times that you say, God, you're amazing what you do in my life. And other times when you say, God, where are you? I don't like this long wait. I don't like this long process. And I think I've shared before that it is so important to hold on to the knowledge that God is working and answering your prayer. If you have prayed once, God, I want more of you, he is going to give you more of him. And as you continue to pray this, you are going to see your life changing. But it's not something that doesn't come without danger. You are going to have to give up some things that are important to you in order to have room for things that are important for God. So that's the first reason to pray a dangerous prayer. A second reason is because you may just want to create a habit, a new habit related to prayer. That's a good reason. You may not have a habit. Well, this is going to give you an ability to every day for the next 21 have a time where you're sitting down with scripture, sitting down with prayer. Another reason may be that you don't have a prayer life. Let's get real here, people. We come to church, we talk about reading the Bible, we talk about praying, but you know what? Prayer can get pushed out of the way so easily. We wake up in the morning with every intention of taking time with God, but first we have to set the coffee going, and then we have to shower, and then we better check our email, and that then leads us to checking our Facebook, and then we look at the clock, and it's time to go out the door, and then we get busy with other things, and that time with God doesn't happen. And this isn't to condemn you. It's to say, starting from today on, you can start a prayer life. It's not something to look back and regret not having. Oh, I should have. We could live in that space for our whole lives and get nowhere. I'm going to. Start a prayer habit, start a prayer life. So that's a great reason to pray dangerous prayers. And the other reason could be that you just realize there's got to be more to life. You may not even have a close relationship with God. You may not even have a relationship with this Jesus person that we talk about. But there's got to be more to life. And that's a great reason to pray a dangerous prayer. Or even decide that you want to pray a dangerous prayer and say, I'm willing to give it a try. I'm willing to try to say some prayers and see what happens. We first come upon Jesus teaching us about prayer in the Sermon of the Mount that's in the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, the first book of the New Testament. Chapters 5 through 7 are the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus does teaching about many, many, many topics to his disciples. We also find him teaching the disciples about prayer in Luke 11. And in that spot, he responds to the disciples asking him, will you teach us about prayer? Will you teach us how to pray? And what he does at that point is he teaches them the Lord's Prayer. But I want to look at the Matthew text for a bit this morning, because in the theme of Jesus' teaching, the Sermon on the Mount, his main theme is about righteous living, how to live according to God's plan, how to live right, how to live rightly, how to live righteously. And so in regards to prayer, Jesus teaches us to pray, saying this, when you pray, don't babble on and on as people of other religions do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating words again and again. Don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask him. Now in 1535, Martin Luther was at the barber's getting his hair cut. And there's a little bit of a reference to that in the opening of this booklet. And his barber said to Dr. Luther, can you tell me how to pray? And so he went home and he wrote a 40-page handwritten paper on how to pray. Now, if you look it up online, you're going to come up with 19 pages of typed writing, just so that you know. Every couple of pages of handwritten writing turns into one page of typed writing. But in that, he says to his barber, he warns him against praying prayers that resemble idle chatter and prattle. Don't just recite words and read prayers, even the Lord's Prayer, without paying attention to what you are praying. See, God wants your heart bent towards him. He doesn't want meaningless words. He
He wants us to form a habit of prayer. Now, research has said that it takes 21 days to establish a habit. And so, pretty cool that this just happens to be 21 days. More recent research, though, has shown that it takes more than 2 months, actually 66 days, to establish a habit that turns into auto mode. Auto mode meaning when you're driving, those of you who have cars or are driving. Have you ever been driving down the street and suddenly thought, I hope that light turned green, because here I am driving down the road and the last thing I remember is being at the stoplight? Anybody do that except me? Yeah, that happens. Or you're walking down the sidewalk and you're suddenly thinking, did I cross the street? Or did I stop at the crosswalk? You do these things without even having to think about them. God does not want us to form a habit of prayer that's auto mode. Amen. That's what Jesus was saying when he said, don't just recite your prayers over and over. And when Martin Luther was saying, don't just use words that are idle chatter and prattle. Make sure you're engaged. So we don't want to form a habit that goes so far that we are on autopilot. The things that we do that are habits formed on autopilot, we can do other things while we're doing them. When you're driving, you can think about your grocery list, right? When you're driving, you can think about what you're going to say in the meeting that's coming up later. When you're walking, you can be thinking about the dream you had last night or the conversation you had with someone, because those are habits that you don't have to think about what you're doing. When you're praying, you don't want to be in this prayer and be thinking about your grocery list. You don't want to be in this prayer and be thinking about the conversation you had with someone else. You want to be in this prayer and have a conversation with God. Now, prayer can look different ways. And part of what we want to do is make sure that we put different things into our prayer life so that it doesn't just get to be a rote habit and suddenly it has no meaning. So if you need to add music sometimes to your prayer time, if you need to sing along with the song and realize this is a prayer of my heart, if it's spending time in scripture and reading the scripture and then praying what God moves in your heart from that scripture. There's also prayers in scripture, and you can read those, but reading, you know what? Reading can be an auto mode habit too. How many of you read something and then go, I didn't pay any attention to what I just read? Yeah, that happens too. So what we need to do is engage. Sometimes what helps is reading out loud. There's different ways to make sure that we stay focused and attentive in our prayer life. We want a habit, but we don't want it to become a habit that we don't engage in, that we don't think about. So listen to this statement. We pray dangerous prayers because we desire to fall in love with God's will. We pray dangerous prayers because our desire is to fall in love with God's will. So if we are praying and we are engaging with God, we are getting to know Him better and better. In your own relationships with people, when you're talking to them regularly, don't you find that you have more to talk about? That you know more about them and they know more about you? It works the same way with God. It works exactly the same way. The more we engage with Him, the more we desire to know Him, the more in love we're going to fall with Him. We want to desire His will. Jesus, in the verses we read earlier,
talking about, you know, don't babble on as other people do. He says, don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask him. So why do we need to pray if God already knows what we need? Is that a good question? Have you ever asked that question before? Why do we need to pray if God already knows what we need? The answer is because our prayers aren't all about what we need. Our prayers are about what God wants. So let me give you what I'm calling the shopping cart analogy, because it's from my favorite way to shop now. I go online and I pick out what I want and I add it to my cart. And I add to my cart the things I want, and then I find the things I need and I add them to my cart. And then I proceed to cart. And I can continue shopping if I want, if I suddenly think there's something else I want or something else I need, and I add that to my cart. And then I get to proceed to checkout. And at that point, my cart can be loaded with as many things as I want. And I have a whole list, anyway I do, of different cards I can put it on, different ones I can choose, how I'm going to pay for it, and then I proceed to check out by going complete order. And I get all the things that I want. And we can pray that way. We can fill our prayer shopping cart with all the things we want and all the things we think we need. God, I want this and I need this. And what about this? Oh, and those people across the ocean who are starving, I'm going to throw them in too, because, hey, I can fill my cart with whatever I want to, and that makes me feel a little bit better when I'm filling them with all these other things that really are about me. That is what Jesus is talking about when he says, your Father already knows what you need. He's saying, don't you go filling up your own shopping cart. God's going to take care of all your needs. What I want you to do, Jesus is saying, is connect with God and desire his will to stir you and move you and change you and transform you and therefore transform the world, because that's what Jesus came to do. Now, let me give you some examples of places where God tells us, Jesus tells us in the New and the Old Testament, that he will make sure that we receive all we want. And Marcus, I'm sorry, I'm skipping ahead a couple of slides, but let's put up the list of, maybe I'm not. Sorry, everybody, technology. I started preaching from an outline recently. Am I on track with cues? Oh, I'm on track with cues. I started preaching from an outline instead of a narrative. And so I'm like, where are all my verses? Where in here it says read off the screen. So, sorry. Just a little bit about me. Let me tell you about these areas that are in the Old Testament and the New Testament where God assures us he's going to take care of our needs, because that can create panic in us when we decide to not do the whole shopping cart kind of prayer. God, I need this. God, I want this. Let's look at the screens together. Philippians 4:19, God will supply all your needs from his glorious riches. Psalm 84:11, the Lord will withhold no good thing from those who do what is right. Matthew 6:33, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. And what about Romans 8 8:32, where it says, since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? And John 15:7, but if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. And Psalm 107:9, for he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. These are a sampling of verses where we're assured over and over and over again that God knows our needs and he's going to meet our needs. And so prayer, a prayer habit, is not just about asking God what we need. Now, we are going to talk next week about requests. That is part of prayer. But where we start with prayer is the most dangerous place. Where we're saying, God, it's not what I want, but it's what you want. Make that true. Make that so in my life. Because when we fall in love with God's will, what we want diminishes, and what God wants increases. Let's look at the process of dangerous prayer. We're going to go through the Lord's Prayer the next 3 weeks, but we're going to go through it, dissecting it little bit by little bit. And we're just going to look at the first two lines of the Lord's Prayer this week. And the way I have memorized it is, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I like to teach, though, out of the New Living Translation. And it says it this way. Jesus says, pray like this. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus taught us to begin to think about God in a new way. One of my favorite things is coming across scripture where Jesus has once again come in and shook up the entire status quo of the day. And he did it here again. Did you know that? He did it by saying, Our Father. The Jews did not talk to God as their Father. This was revolutionary. Our Father. He changed the way people related to God. God was suddenly the Father who cared for them. And he didn't just say, my Father, although he referred to him many times that way. He said, our Father. He included the disciples as he was teaching them and saying, hey, you know, you're starting to figure out who I am. And you know I'm the Son of God. And so, you know, he's my Father. This is how you pray. Our Father. It's our Father now. This changes everything. This changes our desires to be like our dad. Think of it that way. Little boys. And little girls look at their parents, and at certain points, they say, I want to be like that person. I didn't ask permission to share this story, but I'm going to, and I think it's the right one. It's Marcy. And she and I had been in the medical transcription business since 1993. And I remember both of our kids were young, like 3 years old. Our youngest were 3 years old when we started. And I remember her saying that her son, Bobby, told her that he wanted to be a medical transcriptionist when he grew up. Am I right? Is that you? You don't remember. I remember. It was either your kid or my kid. Our kids look at us and they say, I want to be like you when I grow up. That's who I want to be like. That's what Jesus did when he taught the disciples to pray, Our Father in heaven.
May your name be kept holy. The desire of our heart when we look at God as our Father is that we want to be holy like He is holy. God is holy. He is set apart. He's a dangerous one because He can change you. Because He will answer those prayers that you pray. Now, not one of us can out-holy God. We become holy because of Jesus Christ. In 1 John 1, 8 and 9, we find it saying, if we claim we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then Paul puts a punctuation on this in 2 Corinthians 5:21. He says, for God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Let's make sure we're clear on a very important piece of the Christian life. Jesus Christ came to make us right with God. We are not right with God because of our works or our deeds or our goodness or our rightness. Even our choices don't make us right with God. It's through the blood of Jesus Christ, who came because God couldn't stand being separated from us any longer. He missed us. The Father missed His kids. How many empty nesters here? Yeah, you missed your kids when they're gone. Not always when they're living with you, but when they're gone, you really, really miss them. Well, God missed us, and He sent Jesus Christ, who lived among us. And we got to see what it was like to live a life of righteousness. He came to model that for us. That's what moms and dads do, by the way. It's what we're supposed to do, is model how to be good people to our children. And that really is just about the most we can hope for, is that our kids grow up to be good people, good citizens. And I cannot tell you how many parents of teenagers I have assured over the years that indeed your children will grow up to be good citizens because mine did. It's going to turn out that way as long as you were walking in a right path and in a right way. You were modeling for your children. Jesus modeled for us how we live as God's children and live in a right way. And then what He did is just incredible. He bore our sins, and He went to the cross, and He died, an innocent man, in the most horrific way, and His blood cleanses us and makes us right. And when God looks at us, He sees Jesus' rightness. He sees Jesus' righteousness. Now, we get to choose life when we choose Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And we accept what He did for us. And we are therefore made righteous. It is not through our works. It is through Christ's gift and grace. Let's be clear on that. But from that point on, we begin living a life that should be looking more and more and more like Christ. And what that includes is a righteousness and a holiness. And how did that come about? The ability for us to live that way. It's because Jesus said, I'm going back to where I came from by the Father, and I'm sending the Holy Spirit. There's the word, holy. Holy Spirit to dwell within you. The third person of the Trinity is the one who brings us holiness. It is not because of us, our goodness. It is because the Holy Spirit indwells within us that we can be set apart and we are right with God. So let's go back to the shopping cart analogy. We've loaded our cart with the things we want and the things we desire and the things we need. And not only that, if we're a good person, we've loaded our cart with things we think God wants to. We know that God wants to bless those people across the world. We know certain things about Him, and we've added those to the cart. And our cart's really full. And in order to pray the most dangerous prayer, which says, God, I want your will, which is going to transform me and shape my soul, you know what we have to hit when we proceed to cart? We have to hit delete. We have to delete our cart. The things that we have loaded in there, so that there's room for God to put in the things He wants to place in our cart. And they may be some of the same things that we also thought we needed. But what we're doing is this. We're surrendering. We're giving up what we think is best for what God knows is best. And we're making room for Him. And that's what a dangerous prayer is going to do. Okay, when you order something online from your shopping cart, you know it's going to happen. You know it's going to be delivered. Unless it gets lost in transit or it's on back order, likely it's going to come. If you have Prime, it's going to come in 2 days. And man, when you get an email and it says, sorry, it's been delayed and it's not going to be here for 4 days, let me tell you from experience, you get really upset because you were promised something and you were sure because you put it in your cart, you pressed send, continue shopping, you pressed go to cart and you pressed complete your order. And you know that you're going to get what you ordered. You feel safe in those kind of prayers because they're things that you want, that you control. They're not always going to be answered. And then we end up in a quandary. What do we do with God when He doesn't answer our prayers? When those things that we've put in our cart and we're darn sure they're the things He wants to give us. It might be, you know, a bigger house, a better house. Maybe getting rid of those neighbors next door who are so annoying. Certain things that you just are sure would make your life better. And if your life was better, therefore you could serve God better. Those things don't always come about. And then it's like, but God, you say you're going to answer my prayers. I'm praying. I'm knocking. I'm knocking. I'm knocking. I'm knocking. I'm chattering. I'm chattering. I'm prattling. I'm prattling. I'm saying this over and over and over and over. And we forget that we need to stop asking for what we desire and what's our will. And we need to start asking for what God desires and what is His will. And the only way we are going to know that is by praying the most dangerous prayer of all, which is, God, transform my life. I'm willing for you to alter my life, reshape my soul. I'm willing for you to reshape my soul because I want to fall in love with your will, God. I want to fall in love with what you desire. I want you to fill me up. I want to be praying the prayers that you want to fulfill in my life. And that is what we're going to talk about next week when we talk about requests. How do we know what to request and how to pray in that arena? This booklet is going to be our tool over the next few weeks. And you can read the first few pages. It talks about how this booklet works. But basically, every day it gives you scripture to read. And it says to read it 1 to 3 times. I'd read it over more than once. And then it gives you some devotional material to read. And then a dangerous prayer to pray. And you can pray this prayer, or you can adapt it to one that feels more fitting to your life. But pray every day along the lines that it directs you to pray. Focus on the scripture. But there's another step to this exercise that we're going to use, this tool. And it's on the opposite page from your reading for the day. And it has certain questions about what the scripture is saying to you. What God's saying to you. What it is that you need to do throughout the day. Let this serve as a tool to continue on or maybe begin the life-changing experience that prayer and communion and spending time with God can bring to you. In Matthew 18, 19 and 20, Jesus says this, "I also tell you, if two of you agree here on earth concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you. For where two or three are gathered, I am there among you." We are gathering together every Sunday to talk about prayer. We are gathering together to go through this book for 21 days. I want to throw another challenge out to you. I know a few of you I've already talked to, and Ted's already talked to about doing this. We bought extra booklets. If there's someone in your life, and a lot of you know that we've been praying for God to be bringing people into our lives who don't know him yet, so that we can help guide them to Jesus Christ as their Savior, and that we can see 5 new commitments to Christ by the end of the month of February. For those of you who have already made those connections with people in your life, take an extra booklet and invite this person to go through this with you. Or a couple of people. Because where two or three are gathered, there Jesus is in the midst. And know that it will be the Holy Spirit that will be guiding you. So that's available to you if you want it. And if you need more booklets, Gail will hand them out. So that's a possibility. But I don't know where you are today. If you just need to start your own prayer habit, take your one book and start your prayer habit. If you're ready to expand it more, then do that with other people. So Marcus and Christina, I would like to ask you guys to come on up now, because we're going to go ahead into our next steps. And the next steps today are that I want to strengthen my prayer life. And if you are feeling that, on your connection card, which you will find inside of your program, on one side you'll find next steps. And this is a reflection time and a response time. We're going to be singing some songs and listening to some of the singing that's going on while we're filling out this card. If you want to strengthen your prayer life wherever it is, you can check that box. And then on your sermon notes, there's a place where you can write that down so that you don't forget. Also, will you commit? Will you commit to going through the 21 days of prayer? Will you do this every day? Can we see what happens when we join together purposefully praying the same or similar prayers every day for the next 3 weeks with this body, but also with others all over the state of Oregon? I want to see what God does.
I'm excited about that. And then the other next step is that you'll invite two or three people to go through the prayer booklet with you. If you want to do that, check it off. These are always things that you can contemplate and decide on your own. So as we are singing and as we are responding, we're going to also have communion this morning. I'm going to open the communion table as soon as we start our first song. I would like to ask that you complete your connection card before you go to partake of the elements. The other side of it, opposite of new steps, is where you can put your name and other info. If you're new with us today, only fill out what you're comfortable with doing. If you're part of New Vision and you're ready to go a little bit deeper and want to get more involved, there's boxes to check and things to do. And one thing I wanted to mention is that it's coming up to time for another membership class. And there is a box to check about a class called Discover New Vision Plus You. And if you're interested in becoming a member and you're not one yet, check that off and we'll start putting a class together. What I want to ask you to do, though, is fill out the connection card. Decide whether you're going to commit to prayer. Decide if you want to go deeper in prayer. It's dangerous because God's going to answer, and sometimes it's going to be wonderful and great and feel really good, and sometimes it's not going to feel so good, but both ways he's answering. It's just that growth sometimes is not easy, and he wants us to grow, and he wants us to be reshaped and transformed. But the other thing I want you to do is I want you to take a look at your shopping cart. At your prayer shopping cart, at your heart, at what's in your mind. What are the things that you're desiring and striving for and just maybe being driven by in your life right now? What is in that part of you that you are carrying around? Is it full of your stuff? Is it time to delete it? Is it time to empty your cart so that there is more room for God? And so I'd ask you to ponder that. And as you make your way to take the bread, which represents the body of Christ, which was broken for you, and the blood, which represents the blood of Christ, or the juice, which represents the blood of Christ that was shed for you, to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. I'd ask you to stop momentarily or for a while and linger at the cross station. And there, empty whatever it is you're carrying that you don't need to carry anymore because God has something better for you. So stop on your way up to get communion or stop on your way back. Stop for a half a second or stop for 10 minutes. Let God move you. The Holy Spirit is living inside of you. What is the Holy Spirit saying to you today? You are made to be holy as He is holy. Take that dangerous step today and let him further transform you and shape you. As we enter into this time, it seems very appropriate that we say the Lord's Prayer together. Can we do that? Okay, let's say it. If you'd like to stand, feel free to stand. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.